You are now listening to Wave E Sound.
Welcome to Versus Mike History. I'm your host, Michael History. In episode 95, Miguel Bird joins the podcast to discuss the consumption of black music throughout history, black literature and how it informs us of forgotten ideas, and the responsibility of the listener. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you choose to listen. Subscribe to the newsletter for updates and podcast recommendations, and join our members-only community on Patreon for access to exclusive content. For everything else, go to versusmikehistory.com. All right, peace family. Welcome back to another episode of Versus Mike History. I am your host, Michael History. And today we got Miguel Bird in the building. Miguel, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, man? Thankful to be on this, for real.
No doubt. It's all love. You know what I mean? I just got you on today so we could talk about, like, some music, get into some books. I see you walking around with literature often. So I kind of want to get into how the two go hand in hand. And we're just gonna chat for a bit. So I guess first and foremost, what I wanna know is what are you listening to these days?
Currently I've been just listening to some DJ Clark Kent mixes on Apple Music.
Okay.
Like he has like these themed ones he does every like mid-2000s R&B, or he has like some disco ones or just a lot of ones oriented around like soul and things like that. So that's what I've been on mostly.
Mm-hmm. Word. And so these are he's updating these like currently, or is it like going?
I don't
back
know
to
how
his...
often he does them, but there's at least like 15 of them at least.
Oh. Word. All right, and I guess what pushes you to read as often as you read? You know, because you know, we're not really living in the times of, you know, literacy, but literacy isn't that popular at these times. You know, so what pushes you to read as often as you do?
I think just trying to recover like a better sense of memory of just us as a people, because I feel like we see conversations happen, like especially on Twitter sometimes. I'm like, how come no one's ever talked about, or like somebody is trying to propose a new idea, when in reality these things have been discussed like 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 150 years ago among us already. So I think that's my biggest thing with reading, is just trying to recover the memory of it. And then a lot of times, like, you think you have a new thought, and like you think there might not be much on it, but somebody's already spent so many years researching and developing concepts around an idea that came to your head.
Word. It's interesting to hear you say that, because I feel like we spend so much time trying to come up with new ideas rather than going back in time to explore how the old ones either didn't work or how they did work, and, you know, somebody came around and just stopped it. Because that has happened so many times in our history, and, you know, we don't talk about how much like we've gotten just shut down from a successful operation. Like there have been plenty, like Black Wall Street was a successful operation.
And it's funny, like sometimes you get to the point where like literature and just reading and stuff and just watching different stuff, but you get to the point where it's even like there's even certain analysis and observations on if even Black Wall Street was really like, was that even really the destination? Because some people, I can't go fully into it, but there's even like not critiques of Black Wall Street, but there's analysis where it's like even that had too much of a capitalist gaze on it. Like even some of our attachment to Black Wall Street just comes from a capitalist gaze. So it's just so much out there that you got to immerse yourself in and just open your mind to.
So what do you think that, like, I don't want to get too deep, you know what I'm saying? I was about to. So what do you think is the answer?
The answer.
Right. Yeah. No, but what I really want to know is like, where do we begin in this age? Like, it's so transformative in terms of like the economy, and you know, our culture is transforming at the blink of an eye. Like I preach unity all the time, and you know, I mean, I just feel like together, we're better together. But you know, all skin folk ain't kin folk, and you gotta wrestle with that too. So
the thing, and even it's even to a point where, I mean, I'm pretty sure you could say this. You look at things you might have said 5 years ago or even last year, and you disagree with that. So absolutely. Part of it is we got to also give ourselves a space to, like, you know, admit we may not have that all the answers at a certain time. But, you know, we're in a state of becoming. Like, we're all working on it. We really are. So, but as a starting point, like, it really, everything really, I know as simple as and mundane as it's going to sound, but it really just starts at home. Like just look at the people you've had around you or elders you've had, and just really dig into who those people were. And I think from there, from that point of entry, is really allows you to really see things more clearly to me.
And what records do you think, or artists in general, do you think incorporated this the best? You know, we have plenty of examples, but I think that I think the audience would like to hear from your perspective.
Man, that's a good question. That's such a good question. I think, you know, I'm trying to think of ones that are really like stuff people would go out and go play. Cause I could say like Coltrane, or I could say like Sun Ra, but that's, I don't even know if sonically that's even palatable to people anymore, you know? So I'm trying to think of more recent ones that are really, I think that's such a tough question. I don't think the industry of music is grounded enough to say there's been a mainstream artist that's fully been that, but I think we see it in like doses, like we've seen it in doses with like the Native Tongues movement in hip hop, like Tribe Called Quest and De La, things like that. We've seen it in little remnants, like the Neo Soul movement of, you know, like Badu and all that. But I don't know, it feel like post, like, I don't know what the breakoff is, but like post maybe late 70s, it's hard to really, it just seems like that part of the grounding got further and further away from what was central to being an artist, you know what I mean? Like, what was central to maybe I could be overestimating this, let me go back and read to see if these people was really on that, but what felt like what we remember about like a Billie Holiday, or what we remember about a Nina Simone, it ain't gonna be what we remember about like a Kanye or Drake. You know what I mean? I don't know what that means, but
that's a fact.
Or even like things we think about when we see and hear Stevie Wonder, or even Prince to a major extent. So
yeah,
it's and I don't know what I mean. It's crazy you ask that, because I don't know. I've been thinking about that for weeks now. It's like it just feels like.
Well, let me.
I don't know what to make of art anymore.
let me bring it to a more current artist that, you know, will be across most people's desk, which is Kendrick. You know, most people would probably point to him as the most conscious quote unquote rapper, but even him, if we're gonna get deep into it, it's like he made it a commodity first and foremost.
Yeah,
and then after he did that, he's like, "All right, I don't want to do that anymore."
Yeah, so. And I struggle with him, man. Not that I struggle. I mean, he's one of the best writers, you know, one of the best writers. And I think,
of course,
he really captures the human experience. But even when I listen to him, especially as I get older and the more I read and stuff, it'd be certain things I'm like, you know, and I know he doesn't position himself as having all the answers. So sort of me is blaming like the way the social structure kind of like magnifies him in a way, kind of like the fan base sort of like puts this savior complex on him. So I can't even say it's entirely him, but it's just like, you know, it's just certain things where it's, I think, yeah, like I was saying, I think he does a good job with the human experience, but it's like on certain topics, I don't think he's as grounded as he thinks he is, you know? Like, I would love to hear him make, like, the Black of the Berry, but, like, after he's read, like, Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams or something like that. Like, I just want to see where, like, if he really locked in on that way, what would how even better and more just I think multi-dimensional, like some of those perspectives would be.
Do you listen to music while you read by any chance?
I've tried it before, but I think as I've gotten more serious about reading, I've sort of gone away from that. Like, I often, oftentimes now, I just go to a lake that's a couple minutes from my job, and I just sit there for like an hour before work or 2 hours after work, just sitting in not complete silence, but it's just I'm gonna really lock in right now and just have a conversation with what I'm reading. The music is sort of like, because I love music so much, it's gonna make me want to get up and just, like do some, like. Like
Word.
it's just gonna take my focus off of it, so I try not to. But I think I've had, I'm used to, like I know you alluded to it, like you always see me walking around with books, but that's oftentimes because I'll be around friends and like I'll read the paragraph or something, and it's something to stick out, and it turned into a discussion point for us. So that's a lot of times when you see me walking around with it, that's usually what it's about for the most part.
I kind of want you to get into that a little bit more because, like, you're walking around, kind of like doing a preacher thing, almost.
In a way,
How did how did that start?
I think let me think. I'm gonna gather my words in a second. This is a good. I'm trying to recover now. I'm trying to cover my memory for a second. But there's a good quote I'm trying to lock. So, Toni K. Bambara was an author, black woman from the 1900s. She died. She passed like 95, but she was like a great, very great artist. And she has a saying that goes like, "As a culture worker who belongs to an oppressed people, my job is to make revolution irresistible." I just think certain of some of the writers, some of the thought I've come across has made like that part of engaging with the revolution irresistible to me. Like it's just like I'm just at the point now where it kind of feels like any little sliver of free time I got, I just gotta read a little bit. Like it's just I don't know what it is. It's a certain itch for me. It's like a couple years ago, I got the itch to really lock in and make beats. I don't know. Sometimes I just get a really like a I don't it's like an internal thing. I can't even explain like if there was a real point that this started happening, but it's sort of just taking over like my thought.
How does that affect what you listen to?
The reading?
We're not,
I think oh
Go ahead. My bad.
I would say I'm engaging music from a different perspective now. Not in a sense like I mean, I'd be lying to you, but I don't. I mean, you see what I post. I don't post righteous music 24/7 or like soulful music 24/7. But it's definitely made me more just mindful of some of the writing and music, or some of. I'll get in deeper into some of the background, like what was the social setting that created this, this that expression of African art at the time. So I think in that way, it sort of makes me see a fuller picture of it, and I think it's also, in a way, made me reframe artists in a lot of ways, because then I'll start digging deeper into who the artist was, and I'll be like, yeah, these are some complicated people too, with a lot of moving parts. So,
Right. I have a question, right? And this is not because of who you are. It's just popping in my head now that we're speaking about it. Do you think that, like, people always say that trap music is irresponsible, right? But a lot of the trap artists are very successful people, like. And you know, there's only really a small handful that are like in and out of jail. Like if we look at the biggest ones, like people like Dirk and Future, like Future ain't in and out of jail. You know what I'm saying? Like he's at the top. And I feel like people are so are vindictive about the genre, because it is a genre now. I've come to embrace it in a way that I never thought I would. Like when I was younger and trap music really started becoming popular up north, like I wasn't really feeling it until like until that just one Future record one day. You like, oh my goodness, like this is amazing. Like and it's not like we haven't been introduced to Southern artists, but like like Andre 3000 and Big Boy, these guys were rapping. Like it's not the same game.
Mm-hmm. At the same time, at that time, you had 3-6 because 3-6 is popping off since. It's been, but I get what you mean. It wasn't as dominant in the in the zeitgeist as the trap music in our generation. But I don't know. I guess if you're saying how do I feel about how it's interpreted in a way, I think that's what you're asking, right?
Yeah, like I mean, like
it's
like,
complicated.
Like, is there like there has to be room? There has to be room for it, right? And in some capacity, because it's delivered something meaningful at the end of the day. It's just that it's like most of the time the subject matter that usually comes with the genre is negative.
Man, all right.
Sorry to lay it on you.
No, that's this is another thing I've been struggling. It's you're asking questions that I've been sitting on for like weeks and months, just in my head trying to like internally debate it. It's like, what is the responsibility of the artist, right? And that's a tough one, but because I'll be the first to tell you they make amazing music. Like, you know what I mean? I've listened to hundreds of, if not thousands of hours of Future, but at the same time, it's that internal part of me where I know, like, you know what I mean? This isn't right, but like, it's almost, man, it's tough because none of us, the majority of the audience isn't living that way. But I mean, I'm sure there's a percentage of people that are influenced by the worst parts, the most saliently worst parts of that music. So it's hard for me to reconcile it, if not defend it, you know? I don't know. It's tough. Do I think there's a place for it? I do, but I don't think it should be central to what Black music is. I'll say that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's tough because you have artists that have patterned themselves after caricature because that's what sold. And you know what I mean? Because you've seen that clip that came out a couple of years where Future was saying, yeah, I don't even do that.
Word.
it's like all right, so actually, then what are we doing then? Right? Word. Like, and then 21 Savage, someone like when he saw the dialogue a couple weeks back when he put up like Atlanta got a chill on the guns, and then somebody was like, "Nigga, are you serious? Like, how you see?"
Word, yeah.
And then it hurt me because then his next tweet was, "Yeah, but this entertainment. It's like, come on, yo, like we spinning the block, we killing ops, we doing all this, and you building an image off that. Not only building an image, but gaining capital off it. And then at the end of the day, you're gonna say it's entertainment. It's like, I don't know who's that for. Like, that's the part where I'm kind of at a crossroads with a lot of rap. You know, it's just like, what is this doing at this point?
I want to say that I understand his sentiment, but the way he expressed himself did not come off was not favorable at all.
You know, a friend of mine had loaned me this book a couple years ago and then ended up just owning it forever, but I asked him to keep it. It was a book called Hip Hop's Inheritance, and it was by this guy named Relan Baraka or something like that. Forgive me if I'm messing the author's name up, but the book is Hip Hop's Inheritance. But there's this part where he goes into, and it hasn't left my brain for like 2.5 years, where he starts saying, he gets into this whole thing. He's like, we got to understand that the first Black art or like adjacent that white people consumed on a commercial mainstream type of level was blackface minstrelsy. And I don't think popular Black art has escaped that point of entry. You know what I mean? So when 21 Savage is saying like, this is an image and like, this is entertainment. It's like, I don't think that's far from the blackface minstrelsy. You know what I mean? And you're saying I don't behave like this, but I'm gonna promote this stereotypical, like hyper aggressive, you know what I mean? Just all of that. So it's like, who is this? You know what I mean? Who is this really for then? It's like I'm wrestling with it that way. It's like we're really highlighting stereotype for what?
And what's crazy is that
sound nice. You know what I mean? Songs, we're all guilty of bumping. I would never be holier than that. But my bad, I ain't gonna catch up.
No, I was just gonna say, what's crazy is that it is not might not even be for us. It might be for it might be for them, you know, like, but like, so
but then
so,
but then we'll attach ourselves to it, and like it defends it. Like, it's this weird tricky line, man. Like, like we identify, why do we identify with the art thing? Because we identify with the art, and then when the art has ramifications, you know, like, and most recently, like Gunna Thug, it's like, damn, don't use the art in court and stuff, you know, which that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's unfortunate what happens to them, for real. But it's almost like, all right, so we are attaching ourselves to that thing, and we know how it ends, but it's just like, and then when shit hits the fan, we like, but yeah, but that's our shit. Like, and it's like, all right, what's really ours then?
Word.
Like, if, I don't know, man. I struggle with that one. I struggle with that one a lot.
It's tough, you know. You don't got to have an answer.
It's tough. It's tough. I don't think there is one, but
right.
People are saying like, yeah, but they just talk about everyday life. It's like the blues, yada, yada, yada. I'm like, I don't know, man. It's like, it's almost, almost dare I say a bastardized version of the blues, but I don't know. I don't know.
All right. Shifting towards the end here. I want to talk about soul music a bit. Because, you know, we got that R&B topic. I don't want to get too deep into that. I'm more so concerned about, I'm more, because R&B is here. Like, come on. Mm-hmm. I want to know if we'll ever see a resurgence of soul music, though. Like,
I think your last question and this one are tied together in many ways. You know, that's just not, it's just not the zeitgeist. It's not what's like, that was more of an expression of what was going on. You know what I mean? Like, what was, because you're starting to see you come out of the Black Arts Movement, Black Power Movement, the development of Africana studies programs across universities, things like that. So I think that stuff was like, cause like, you know, you'll hear that, like the Panthers would talk in a Sly and a Family Stone. Like, you know what I mean? It's a different, and now artists are so disconnected from that, even on that. So it's like, well, who's informing the artist now? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Word. It's Dave Chappelle hanging with Kanye. You know what I mean?
Like, crazy times.
You know what I mean? It's
very good.
It's Dave Chappelle hanging with Kanye, hanging with Antonio Brown. Like, they're not adjacent to, you know, it's so very, I mean, but that's part of the program.
Very,
you
know? Unserious.
I don't know if it'll make a resurgence. I think when
maybe it's been redefined, I don't know.
And I think the market forces are different too. That's another thing that I think is an underrated part of just the change in Black music in general. It's just that people get data on shit that what sells and what does this and what does that, and of course people are then going to tailor themselves. You know what I mean? People that nobody knows on SoundCloud is rapping like Future. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, white people wouldn't know how to sell that shit. And
no.
It's funny too, because it leads me to another thought, which is that Tiny Desk is such a slam dunk, and the fact that it's like an outlier on YouTube is insane to me at this point. Like, Tiny Desk is like 5-6 years plus old. Like, there should be like five more of those. You see what I'm saying? Like,
it should be, but it's cool because it's niche. You know what I mean? That's the whole feel.
But it's not even ours. It's not ours.
It's not. Nope.
That's
sick. Nope.
That's
sick. But what is ours in this space though? Like, what is really? I was having this idea yesterday. I'm like, even all the music, all the soul music we love and stuff, like all that stuff. You just go back. Like, you're gonna turn around and back, and you're gonna see the same name.
Word.
Universal and this and that and Sony and it's the same. So it's. They just got better at, I think, they got better at disrupting the useful parts of it, the useful parts of our music, I think. And then they just, we kept everything else. We kept the fly shit, all the aesthetic part of it. We lost sort of like the soul of it, but, you know, no pun intended. But I think, back to that question, it's just, when we reflect that, in ourselves on a ground level, I think maybe that's when they'll get it, because they're only going to respond to what the people are on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they've already sold us images of ourselves that have kind of beat that out of us in a way. So it's like they're not even checking it for it anyway. So why do I even have to feed them that? But that would bring me to why we at some point we got to detach ourselves from that centralized, like, culturally hegemonic industry at some point.
Yeah. Yeah, because like, who decided that All Right was the Black people empowerment anthem? Like,
now, right.
Not me.
Right.
I thought
as
it
if
was,
we haven't had.
I thought the song. I thought the song was hard, but sorry. I,
got, like, no disrespect. As if we even needed a new one, because those have existed already, and like great ones have. Like,
yeah.
Like, so like, All Right isn't doing nothing with "Someday We'll All Be Free" by Donny Hathaway.
Yeah,
like, you know
come on
what
now.
I mean? It's like,
come on now.
But that's not gonna win the Pulitzer Prize now. Like, that's not the. You know what I mean? I'm gonna give you this. I don't know, man. Damn, you just said, man.
Yeah.
But I don't. I really think the future of all this stuff is just gonna be like smaller communities. Like, it's gonna be on almost like a peer group level, or like just these small little pockets where people are doing the work at. That's gonna end up changing stuff. I think we just gotta stop asking. Like, and it's so funny you mentioned it in the joking, but like the R&B conversation. When people was like, it's dead, and it's like, you're saying it's dead because it's not happening on an industry, like,
word.
Talking head pundit level. And it's like, it's happening. You just got to put in that little bit of extra work to dig for it. But
people saying
if
R&B,
it's not,
people saying R&B
if
is dead because white people
yeah.
don't want to squeeze it dry. Like,
oh yeah, nope. Yo, my God, yo.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, because the industry gaze isn't on it, so it don't mean nothing to them. That's why
it's
dead to them.
Which is a good thing, because we're getting quality R&B music right now. So the fact that people are even saying that, you see what I'm saying? Like, that's what makes it a full circle and very quick conversation to me, because it's like, yo,
yeah,
if you just look, you will be proved wrong very quickly.
But we really don't want to look. We want, sadly, like, we want to take what kind of look. What has a little bit of, like, what has a little bit of soul in it, it looks like us a little bit, but it's on that big screen, or is on that Universal or Warner Brothers. Like, that's the win for us. I don't know why. Like, we can't detach out. Like, if you're not on a Vogue cover, it ain't mean nothing.
And then it's not even like we don't have bigger artists. Like, we have Jasmine Sullivan, who just won a Grammy. We have Summer Walker.
Right.
We have her, who wrote a million songs in the past 5 years. She wrote a million hit records. Like, what are you talking about? No R&B. Like, what? It's crazy. Party Next Door wrote the biggest. Come on now. Whatever.
It's right. It. Yeah. It's if it's not. Yeah. If you know how it is. If it's not, our attention span is short, and I think our perspective gets almost like it gets thinner over time. I don't know. It's weird.
Word.
It's weird, man. We won't remember what happened a couple of years ago with somebody.
Word.
Like, that's one of the fascinating things about the Kendrick album. It's like, especially the Kodak aspect of it. It's like, I've seen people who are so adamant against abuse, and I'm not going to indict anybody or anything. I'm just going to say, you know what I mean? I'm going to just lay it out how. I'm just, like, my thought process. But all these people that were like, I don't know, cancel's the wrong word, but have been critical of Kodak's behavior. You know what I mean? Someone which is like alleged sex abuse. But then he's on the Kendrick album, and I've seen some of those same people like be like, yeah, I don't know, like, the Kodak part sketch, but the album fire. And I'm like, all right. So it's like, what's the dance? Like, is that just the dance we got to play with everything?
I don't know. Who knows?
Know.
It's tough. It really is a tough line to dance.
Even the same thing with it was funny with part of the Donda when that started coming out. Like, everybody was off him a couple of years ago, when it's like, I don't know what to make of stuff, man.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of stuff.
All right, man. It was good talking to you, Bird. I really appreciate you coming on the pod. This was a good talk.
Nah, I appreciate you having me, man. It's always good seeing you around. Brown Mills, Temple Sunday. Always good to run into you.
Of course, of course. Yeah, I mean, let the people know where they can find you on the internet if you want them to.
That's fine. It's tough. I should have made better at names, but who is like God 33 on Twitter, and who is like God Bird BYRD on Instagram?
All right. And you already know, people, stay black, stay beautiful, stay vigilant.
Amen.
Peace, peace.
Peace.